content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello and welcome to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A program from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. This program is brought to you by the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, an organization of citizens, volunteers, and patrons, all interested in supporting the library and the services it provides. The Friends Group was founded in 1989 and now has more than 300 members across North Carolina. If you'd like to join the Friends Group yourself, we'll have information about how you can do that later in the program. This program is all about books, with special emphasis on those available from the North Carolina Library for the Blind. The library has more than 86,000 titles in its collection. Books and magazines are available in large print, braille, and digital talking books as well. The library has more than 11,000 patrons across the state. If you're not a patron but are interested in becoming one, I'll have more information about that at the end of the program. As well. This month, we will take a look at some of the most popular books checked out during the months of March and April 2017 at the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. We'll begin this program with two very interesting new kinds of books that were the most popular in the month of April at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. They are books written by the very famous author James Patterson, and they're called Bookshots. Have you heard about Bookshots yet? Well, Bookshots are, as James Patterson puts it, lightning-fast stories, novels that you can devour in just a few hours, and they are impossible to stop reading. And I have to tell you, I have read a few of these myself, and it is quite true. They are all very riveting stories from James Patterson and also some other authors that he works with. So these are short books. The printed editions of these books are usually about 150, 160 pages, something like that. And the cost is very reasonable. They're like $5 a book at the bookstore. But these are available in digital format for you to listen to at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. Two of these books were very, very popular last month, as I mentioned. One of them is one called Have Yourself a Scary Little Christmas. And the content of it is, we have a little description here for you. In the heart of the holiday season, priceless paintings have vanished from a Park Avenue murder scene, and now dashing French detective Luc Moncrief must become a quick study in the art of steal before a cold-blooded killer paints the town red. Merry Christmas, Detective. That the story itself is called Merry Christmas, Detective. Have Yourself a Scary Little Christmas, and it's actually the I think the first one in a Luc Moncrief edition, who's a new character created by James Patterson. The second book that is very popular, or has been in the past month or two, is called Let's Play Make-Believe, and that is a bookshot by James Patterson as well. This particular story is both survivors of the divorce wars, Christy and Martin, don't believe in love at first sight, and certainly not on a first date. But from the instant they lock eyes, life becomes a sexy, romantic dream come true. That is, until they start playing a strangely intense game of make-believe, a game that's all about to go too far. Make-Believe I Love You. And the title of the book is Let's Play Make-Believe. And that's another bookshot by James Patterson. These are really interesting things, and I did not realize that they were going to be available as quickly at the North Carolina Library for the Blind as they have been. Bookshots just started maybe a year to 2 years ago at the most by James Patterson. And I was looking online to get a little more background on Bookshots for you. There have been 43 of these books published so far just in the last 2 years, and he's got four more coming out this summer. He had release dates for four more leading up to August. So I think you'll enjoy this. Check this out at the North Carolina Library for the Blind. I don't know exactly how long it would take to listen to one of these books. I suspect that it probably only takes a couple of hours, and it is a great story. It is riveting, and it's something that, you just can't stop once you get into it. Bookshots by James Patterson. Let's move on to our first book after the bookshots discussion there this month. This is called Dishonorable Intentions by Stuart Woods. Stone Barrington gains an adversary that he can't seem to shake in this electrifying adventure from the number one New York Times bestselling author Stuart Woods. Stone Barrington's latest lady friend is full of surprises, both good and ill. A sensual woman with unexpected desires, Stone finds her revelations in the boudoir extremely agreeable. But, on the other hand, she also has some unfinished business with a temperamental man who believes Stone is an intolerable obstacle in the way of his goals. In a cat-and-mouse game that trails from sun-drenched Bel Air to a peaceful European estate and gorgeous Santa Fe, Stone and his friend remain just one step ahead of their opponent. But their pursuer is not a man who can stand to be thwarted, and tensions are mounting and may soon reach the boiling point. Dishonorable Intentions by Stuart Woods. Now here's a book that Stuart Woods co-wrote that was very popular during the month of April. It's called Smooth Operator. It's a Teddy Fay novel by Stuart Woods and also Parnell Hall. Bestseller Woods, for Dishonorable Intentions we just talked about, teams up with Edgar finalist Hall, Parnell Hall, who wrote A Fool for a Client. On this, testosterone-fueled thriller, which features recurring character Teddy Fay, an ex-CIA agent and master of disguise, who first appeared as a villain in 2003's Capital Crimes. New York lawyer Stone Barrington is cruising on his yacht on the Hudson River when he receives an urgent summons to attend a state dinner in Washington, D.C. During the dinner, Stone is called away to a secret meeting with President Kate Lee, a Democrat, and Congressman Charles Blaine, a Republican. Blaine's college-age daughter, Karen, has been kidnapped by unknown parties who are threatening to kill Karen unless Blaine, the Speaker of the House, is able to pass a bill providing medical benefits for wounded veterans that his party opposes. Now, Stone has someone in mind to handle this sensitive crisis, though for security reasons he won't tell the president the person's name, Teddy. Fans are sure to welcome this action-packed start to a separate series within the larger Stone Barrington story arc. And once again, it's called Smooth Operator, very popular this past month at the North Carolina Library for the Blind, and it was co-written by Stuart Woods and Parnell Hall. The next book we want to focus on today is 2x2 by Nicholas Sparks. Number one, New York Times bestselling author Sparks returns with an emotionally powerful story of unconditional love, its challenges, its risks, and most of all, its rewards. At age 32, Russell Green has it all. A stunning wife, a lovable six-year-old daughter, a successful career as an advertising executive, and an expansive home in Charlotte. Now, he is living the dream, and his marriage to the bewitching Vivian is the center of all of that. But underneath the shiny surface of this perfect existence, fault lines are beginning to appear, and no one is more surprised than Russ when he finds every aspect of the life he took for granted turned upside down. Now, in a matter of months, Russell finds himself without a job or a wife, caring for his young daughter while struggling to adapt to a new and baffling reality. throwing himself into the wilderness of single parenting, Russell embarks on a journey at once terrifying and rewarding, one that will test his abilities and his emotional resources beyond anything he ever imagined. Sounds like a great story by a very popular author, Nicholas Sparks, and that one is called 2x2. Speaking of popular authors, you know this next one very well. John Grisham's latest book is called The Whistler, and it was very popular within the last couple of months. Here's the storyline. We expect our judges to be honest and wise. Their integrity and impartiality are the bedrock of the entire judicial system. We trust them to ensure fair trials, to protect the rights of all litigants, to punish those who do wrong, and to oversee the orderly and efficient flow of justice. But what happens when a judge bends the law or takes a bribe? It's rare, but it does happen. Lacey Stoltz is an investigator for the Florida Board on Judicial Conduct. Now, she is a lawyer, not a cop, and it is her job to respond to complaints dealing with judicial misconduct. After 9 years with the board, she knows that most problems are caused by incompetence, not by corruption. But a corruption case eventually crosses her desk. A previously disbarred lawyer is back in business with a new identity. He now goes by the name Greg Myers, and he claims to know of a Florida judge who has stolen more money than all other crooked judges combined. And it's not just crooked judges in Florida. All judges from all states and throughout U.S. history. Well, what's the source of the ill-gotten gains? It seems the judge was secretly involved in the construction of a large casino on Native American land. The Coast Mafia financed the casino and is now helping itself to a sizable skim of each month's cash. The judge is getting a cut and looking the other way. It's a sweet deal. Everyone is making money. But now Greg wants to put a stop to it. His only client is a person who knows the truth and wants to blow the whistle and collect millions under Florida law. Greg files a complaint with the Board on Judicial Conduct, and the case is assigned to Lacey Stoltz, who immediately suspects that this one could be dangerous. Dangerous is one thing, deadly is something else. This is by the very popular award-winning author John Grisham, and the book is called The Whistler. You're listening to Heard Any Good Books Lately? A special production of the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Thanks so much for joining me today. Did somebody say what happened to David Baldacci? Well, if you did, I have the answer for you. His latest book is called No Man's Land, and it's a very, very popular book as well. Here's the plot line. Two men, 30 years. John Puller's mother, Jackie, vanished 30 years ago from Fort Monroe, Virginia, when Puller was just a boy. Paul Rogers has been in prison for 10 years, but 20 years before that, he was at Fort Monroe. One night, three decades ago, Puller's and Rogers' worlds collided with devastating results, and the truth has been buried ever since, until now. Military investigators, armed with a letter from a friend of Jackie's, arrive in the hospital room of Puller's father, a legendary three-star now sinking into dementia, and reveal that Puller Sr. has been accused of murdering Jackie. Aided by his brother, Robert Puller, an Air Force major, and Veronica Knox, who works for a shadowy U.S. intelligence organization, Puller begins a journey that will take him into his own past to find the truth about his mother. Paul Rogers' time is running out. With the clock ticking, he begins his own journey, one that will take him across the country to the place where all his troubles began, a mysterious building on the grounds of Fort Monroe. There, 30 years ago, the man Rogers had once been vanished to and was replaced with a monster. And now the monster wants revenge, and the only person standing in his way is John Puller. Sounds like another exciting story there from David Baldacci. That one is called No Man's Land. Here's another author who's very popular. I haven't read too many summaries of books on this program by him, but it's Clive Cussler, and this is a book called Odessa. Oceanography's answer to Indiana Jones. Dirk Pitt responds to a mysterious Mayday signal from a deserted ship that draws him toward a deadly Cold War secret in this novel by Clive Cussler, who is a number one New York Times bestselling author. Dirk Pitt, the director of the National Underwater and Marine Agency, is on the Black Sea helping to locate a lost Ottoman shipwreck when he responds to an urgent mayday under attack from a nearby freighter. But when he and his colleague Al Giordino arrive, there is nobody there, just dead bodies and a smell of sulfur in the air. As Pitt and Giordino explore, a blast from the stern scuttles the ship swiftly, almost taking them with it. The more the two of them search for the secret of the death ship, the deeper they descend into an extraordinary series of discoveries. A desperate attempt in 1917 to preserve the wealth and power of the Romanov Empire. A Cold War bomber lost with a deadly cargo. A brilliant developer of advanced drone technology on an unknown mission. Modern-day nuclear smugglers, determined Ukrainian rebels, a beautiful anti-terrorism agent from Europol, all will combine to present Pitt with the most dangerous challenge of his career. And not only Pitt, his two children, marine engineer Dirk and oceanographer Summer, are exploring a mysterious shipwreck of their own when they are catapulted into his orbit. The three of them are used to perilous situations, but this time they may have found their match. Filled with breathtaking suspense and remarkable imagination, Odessa Sea is further proof that when it comes to adventure writing, nobody beats Clive Cussler. Odessa Sea by Clive Cussler, one of the most popular books at the North Carolina Library for the Blind during the month of April. Now here's a book that has been on our radar screen before at Heard Any Good Books Lately, and it's back this month, Killing the Rising Sun by Bill O'Reilly. Autumn, 1944. World War II is nearly over in Europe, but is escalating in the Pacific, where American soldiers face an opponent who will go to any length to avoid defeat. The Japanese army follows the samurai code of Bushido, stipulating that surrender is a form of dishonor. Killing the Rising Sun takes readers to the bloody tropical island battlefields of Peleliu and Iwo Jima, and to the embattled Philippines, where General Douglas MacArthur has made a triumphant return and is plotting a full-scale invasion of Japan. Across the globe in Los Alamos, New Mexico, Dr. J. Robert Oppenheimer and his team of scientists are preparing to test the deadliest weapon known to mankind. In Washington, D.C., FDR dies in office and Harry Truman ascends to the presidency, only to face the most important political decision in history, whether to use that weapon. And in Tokyo, Emperor Hirohito, who is considered a deity by his subjects, refuses to surrender, despite a massive and mounting death toll. Told in the same page-turning style of Killing Lincoln, Killing Kennedy, Killing Jesus, Killing Patton, and Killing Reagan, this epic saga details the final moments of World War II like never before. I've read this one, and it's a very, very good book, a very informative book, Killing the Rising Sun by Bill O'Reilly. Well, Stuart Woods was really on a roll this past month with popular books, that's for sure. This is one called Sex, Lies, and Serious Money by Stuart Woods. And this is a Stone Barrington novel. We talked about Stone Barrington just a little while ago. Barrington takes on a client who gives him a run for his money in the newest heart-stopping thriller from the best-selling author Stuart Woods. Fresh off the runway at Teterboro, Stone Barrington arrives home to find an unexpected new client on his doorstep, anxiously soliciting his help. But everything is not as it seems when the client reveals the true nature and value of his recent turn of fortune. From luxury New York high-rises to the sprawling New Mexico desert, his client is pursued from all angles, and Stone quickly learns that easy money isn't always so easy. Sex, Lies, and Serious Money, a Stone Barrington novel by Stuart Woods. Now we're back to James Patterson again. This is another popular book that's called Bullseye. Caught in the crossfire of a deadly standoff, Detective Michael Bennett must kill or be killed. Tensions between America and Russia are the highest they've been since the Cold War. As the country's presidents travel to the United Nations to iron out their differences, a fashionable husband and wife team of lethal assassins prowls the streets of Manhattan hunting their prey, a professor hiding a scandalous secret. Their next target? The extremely popular president of the United States of America. Now, pulled away from his family and pressed into service, Detective Michael Bennett must trace the source of a threat that could rip the country apart. And what he finds may turn the Cold War red hot once again. With allegiances constantly in doubt and no one above suspicion, only Bennett can step into the line of fire to save the president before the deadly kill shot hits its mark. Bullseye by James Patterson, a very, very popular book. And while we're on the subject of James Patterson, we might as well go into this next one, too, because it was equally popular in the past couple of months at the Library for the Blind. It's called Cross the Line, and it's by Patterson. In all of Alex Cross's years with homicide, Washington, D.C. has never been more dangerous than it is now. After shots pierce the tranquil nighttime calm of Rock Creek Park, a man is dead. What looks at first like road rage might be something much more sinister. But Alex has only just begun asking questions when he's called across town to investigate a new murder, one that hits close to home. Washington's own chief of detectives and Alex's former boss, beloved mentor of Alex's wife, Bree. Now there's a killer on the loose, a long list of possible suspects, a city in panic, and nobody in charge of the besieged police force until Bree gets tapped for the job. As Bree scrambles to find her footing and close two high-profile cases herself, new violence stuns the Capitol. What should be a time for her to rely on Alex for support and cooperation is instead a moment of crisis in their marriage as well as their city when their investigative instincts clash and their relationship reaches a breaking point. And the fiendish mind behind all the violence has appointed himself judge, jury, and executioner with a terrifying master plan he's only begun to put in motion. To beat him at his own game, Alex and Bree must take the law back into their own hands before he puts them both out of commission permanently. It's called Cross the Line by the very popular author James Patterson. We have only time for a couple of more books here. This is one that was very popular this past month, although it has kind of a Christmas theme to it. It's called 12 Days of Christmas by Debbie McComber. New York Times bestseller, continuing in a festive annual tradition, Debbie McComber returns with a new original holiday novel full of romance and cheer and the magical prospect of finding love in the most unexpected places. Friendly and bubbly, Julia Padden likes nearly everyone but her standoffish neighbor, Kane Maddox, presents a particular challenge. No matter how hard she tries to be nice, Kane rudely rebuffs her at every turn, preferring to keep to himself. But when Julia catches Kane stealing her newspaper from the lobby of their apartment building, that's the last straw. She's going to break through Kane's Scrooge-like exterior the only way she knows how, by killing him with kindness. Now, to track her progress, Julia starts a blog called The 12 Days of Christmas. Her first attempts to humanize Kane are far from successful. Julia brings him homemade Christmas treats, and the disagreeable Grinch won't even accept them. Meanwhile, Julie's blog becomes an online sensation as an astonishing number of people start following her adventures. Julia continues to find ways to express kindness, and little by little chips away at Kane's gruff facade to reveal the caring man underneath. Unbelievably, Julia feels herself falling for Kane, and she suspects that he may be falling for her as well. But as the popularity of her blog continues to grow, Julia must decide if telling Kane the truth about having chronicled their relationship to the rest of the world is worth risking their chance at love. So it's nice to have a little break from murder mysteries, isn't it? It sounds like a good one from Debbie McComber that came out this past year. 12 Days of Christmas. Debbie McComber is the author. And that's just about all the time we have for this month's edition of Heard Any Good Books Lately. I'm George Douglas. I hope you enjoyed it. If you like more information about how to become a patron of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, simply Google or search North Carolina Library for the Blind or call toll-free 1-888-388-2460. That's 1-888-388-2460. You can also use the same numbers and website to join the Friends of the North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. It is that wonderful organization that sponsors this monthly feature on books. This program is intended primarily for people who are blind or print impaired. Heard Any Good Books Lately will be available right after the broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. I hope you'll join me next time. This is George Douglas. Thanks so much for being with me today on Heard Any Good Books Lately.